Big topics, big ideas, big sky, Montana Talks.
Oh, no, they're back with the singing. They're already back with the singing and the chanting. You can tell that these older leftists that are running the Democrat Party into the ground, that are running all of these rallies, that are running all of these protests in support of the rapists and the murderers and all the criminal illegal aliens out there, you can tell these guys did way too many drugs back in the 60s. They're probably still doing way too many drugs in the 2020s. But here they go again with the singing in Boston. You know, they got Mayor Wu. Boston Mayor Wu. She is the one standing up for the criminal illegal aliens and basically, like a Southern segregationist, refusing to honor immigration laws and refusing to work with ICE, refusing to work with the federal government to get these criminal illegal aliens out of her city, out of this country. But as Laura Ingraham shared last night, apparently now here they go again with the singing and with the serenading once again.
As Donald Trump's team is busy rounding up dangerous illegals, liberal city mayors are busy serenading them. Yep, you saw that. A live mariachi band playing outside Boston City Hall today. This is Boston Mayor Michelle Wu's soundtrack du jour. She's playing into stereotypes. Now, imagine what they'd be saying if conservatives used a certain cartoon character to describe how fast illegals scatter when ICE shows up at a Home Depot. Yep, they banned that cartoon. But leftists like Mayor Wu, of course, they're oblivious to all these double standards. They don't care how their policies impact the lives of law-abiding Americans. So when the federal deadline arrived for her to turn over info about their illegal population for the White House, well, what was her answer?
The U.S. Attorney General asked for a response by today. So here it is. Stop attacking our cities to hide your administration's failures. Unlike the Trump administration, Boston follows the law. Yeah. And Boston will not back down from who we are and what we stand for.
Wu won't budge. And what exactly do they stand for, by the way? These aren't patriots dumping British tea into the Boston Harbor. They're Marxists dumping dangerous illegals onto our streets.
Yeah, great opening segment there by Laura Ingraham last night. By the way, speaking of opening segments, man, that had to be a rough wake-up for some of you. You're like, I just woke up. I just turned on the radio. I just picked up my cup of coffee. And you hit me with this?
Yeah, you saw.
Oh, wait, where's this thing? You hit me with this? Here we go, just to rub it in. Yikes. What an awful wake-up call that is right now. I can just picture Tim and Savage. He's got his coffee cup. He's like, you know, that Navy commander in Top Gun. And then all of a sudden, the flyby of the tower, and he spills his coffee all over his shirt this morning after hearing a nasty sound like that. Top of the 6 o'clock hour. All right, lots to talk about here this morning on Montana Talks. Quick break. Phone lines are open for you.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunny skies across the area for today. High temperatures stay around 92 in Bozeman, around 100 in Billings. For tonight, with partly cloudy skies, slight chance for a shower or storm. Otherwise, temperatures head back in the mid-50s in Bozeman, mid-60s in Billings. Thursday, there's a slight chance for a shower or storm. Otherwise, sunshine, with highs in the mid-80s expected. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Securing America.
Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem stood next to the border wall Tuesday to announce they will be painting the wall black, all of it.
That is specifically at the request of the president, who understands that in the hot temperatures down here, when something is painted black, it gets even warmer, and it will make it even harder for people to climb.
Walter Slosar, the border chief of the El Paso sector, said the number of illegal aliens coming to the country has plummeted.
In 2023, we had one day where there were 2,300 people apprehended by the U.S. Border Patrol. We are now apprehending, on a 7-day average, about 41 people a day.
Noem was also asked about interior air enforcement and an effort to build more detention facilities like Alligator Alcatraz in Florida.
In fact, in Nebraska, we have one that will be opening up soon called the Cornhusker Clinker, I think it is, and that will be very helpful.
Though she said her goal isn't to build beds, but deport those who are here illegally. Jessica Rosenthal, Fox News.
Hey, I mentioned this on Tuesday's Montana Talks, but we're going to talk more about it on Wednesday's show. The new lieutenant governor of Florida. He's a decorated Green Beret. He was just announced by Governor Ron DeSantis as the new lieutenant governor of Florida, but he grew up in Scobie, Montana. That's right. All my friends from Scobie were hitting me up. We're going to talk about that. We've got audio of Governor DeSantis making the introduction. So that and more coming up on Wednesday's Montana Talks statewide right here, 9 to 10 a.m.
The impact of a meal goes well beyond feeding our bodies. Because when people don't have to worry about where their next meal is coming from, they can truly thrive. Like Marta.
And now we'll hear from our class valedictorian, who with her hard work never ceases to amaze us. Please welcome Marta Moreno.
And Alex.
Hey, Alex, how did the interview go?
I did it. I got the job. I can't believe it.
I knew it. Let's meet up later to celebrate.
And Diego.
Mom, I got first place at the science fair with my volcano project.
That's amazing, sweetie. Congratulations.
Because when people are fed, futures are nourished, and everyone deserves to live a full life. Join the movement to end hunger at feedingamerica.org/act now. feedingamerica.org/act now. A public service announcement brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
All right. All right, yeah, so I was talking about that story about Boston standing up to ICE, standing up to the federal government. Here's a report from Fox News Radio, just to be a little bit of a scene setter for you here, since we jumped right into the nasty leftist too much drugs field singing right at the top of the show for you here.
To the tune of mariachi music, Boston Mayor Michelle Wu appears to celebrate defiance, announcing the city will not comply with the Trump administration's deadline to carry out federal immigration law.
Boston will not back down from who we are and what we stand for.
In response to a letter Attorney General Pam Bondi sent last week to more than 30 other sanctuary jurisdictions. Her message? Cooperate with federal immigration enforcement or risk lawsuits, losing federal funding, and possibly criminal charges.
If you're not going to do your job, we're going to do it for you to keep our citizens safe.
The Trump administration is adamant there's no safe sanctuary city.
All right, there you go. So, yeah, that's the latest on that Boston story. Since we're already talking about illegal aliens and this illegal immigration news, let's go back to the big story we talked about on Tuesday's show. Yeah, this topic, I brought it up a little bit here early in the early morning hours of the show, but kind of the callers and everything, this is what dominated our statewide 9 o'clock hour on Tuesday as well. We were talking about this illegal alien truck driver accused of killing three people on the highway in Florida. And it was the non-reaction of this illegal alien that I think is just sickened so many people, aside from the tragic deaths here. But more information is coming out on this guy, this Harjinder Singh, who was illegally in the United States of America. Remember, the Trump administration rejected a work permit for this guy back in 2020. The Biden regime, though, gave a work permit, and then California gave the guy a commercial driver's license. Well, the Daily Caller has this. The illegal alien truck driver accused of killing three in that highway accident in Florida failed an English proficiency and a traffic sign test administered by investigators. Harjinder Singh, an Indian national living unlawfully in the United States, was charged with three counts of vehicular homicide after allegedly making an illegal U-turn along a Florida highway earlier in August. Investigators have since determined that Singh has incredibly poor knowledge of both the English language and American road signs. During an English language proficiency assessment administered by the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration, the Indian national only provided two correct answers out of a 12-question verbal test, according to the Department of Transportation. Additionally, he could only identify one of four highway traffic signs. DOT Secretary Sean Duffy, who is, of course, President Trump's transportation secretary. Where the heck was Pete Buttigieg? Yeah, we all know where Pete Buttigieg was at. Probably chest feeding while he was on his, you know, paternity leave for 4 months or whatever. The guy couldn't fill potholes as mayor of a small town in Indiana, but because he checked a woke checkbox, they put the chest feeder in chief in charge of transportation in America. But anyway, DOT Secretary Sean Duffy, that was my rant there. Back to this Daily Caller piece here. DOT Secretary Sean Duffy declared that the individual should have never been allowed to obtain a commercial driver's license. He also took a swipe at sanctuary laws for allowing Singh to continue operating as a truck driver. Duffy said this in a public statement on Tuesday. If states had followed the rules, this driver would have never been behind the wheel, and three precious lives would still be with us. Again, that's from the dailycaller.com. Back to a Fox News Radio story here. What about Trende Aragua in Colorado? TDA, the Venezuelan prison gang, illegal aliens that have even been busted here in Montana, of course. Once they put the spotlight, remember when the Democrats and the liberal media mob were saying, oh, come on, this is just sensational, you know, commentary about Trende Aragua operatives down in Aurora, Colorado. And then you had that, what was it, a CBS news anchor say, well, it's just a handful of apartments that were taken over by Trende Aragua operatives. Let me get you the news on this one here. Just a little bit of an intro on this one. I should have grabbed my printouts before I started yapping with you this morning. But yeah, federal authorities in Denver launched an operation which now resulted in the indictments of people believed to be working with and for the foreign terrorist organization Trende Aragua.
Federal and local law enforcement announced a sweeping undercover operation that netted 30 indictments of suspected TDA members and their associates. The U.S. Attorney for Colorado also identified three who are believed to be TDA leaders, two of whom were tracked down by agents in Medellin, Colombia. 69 weapons were confiscated. The ATF says 27 of those guns were involved in 67 separate shootings across the country. Back in October, the Arapaho County Sheriff's Office noticed a spike in violent crime at an apartment complex called Ivy Crossing and asked the ATF for help. Authorities say the local crime investigation quickly ballooned into a complex multi-state international probe.
Yeah, and by the way, back to the Daily Caller on this very story, of course, they are quoting, remember the Aurora Colorado City Councilwoman who had basically exposed this story. And then there was a local TV station that showed video footage of these Trende Aragua gangbanger thugs basically intimidating people inside local apartment complexes with guns and more. Well, that Aurora City Councilwoman is now speaking out, basically saying that she knows they were here. She is now vindicated, but yet she is sad that it took this much of a fight to help protect the people in her community. All right, more to follow on that story back right after this.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. It was mid-July, and the House of Representatives was already done for the summer. That's right around the same time that Halloween decorations began materializing in stores. But there's a spooky alignment between July and Halloween when it comes to Congress. If you begin to see Halloween paraphernalia in July, well, that's practically October in Capitol Hill terms. The reason? Congress didn't finish its annual spending bills before the August recess. The deadline is October 1st. This converts the Capitol into a chamber of horrors for September. Congress is always lagging to complete the spending bills in July. Then August comes and concerns about spending bills vanish like a ghost. Then appropriations bills rise like mummies out of their coffins when Congress returns in September. The battle over averting a government shutdown is like a vampire. It sucks most other legislative activity out of Congress until there's a spending deal. It makes you want to sit in the corner, pull a blanket over your head, and devour a bag of Halloween candy. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August. Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in. This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls. The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
That's what we were taught, service before self.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Are you on
with the Daybreak Ag Report on the Western Ag Network? I'm Wayne Nordland. The cattle market continues its remarkable run here in 2025, and few people have a closer look at it than auctioneer Ty Thompson of the Northern Livestock Video Auction. This week, they hosted their early fall preview sale, offering 33,000 head of cattle. Now, yesterday, we shared that 405-pound steer calves out of Cody, Wyoming, brought $607.50 per hundredweight. That's over $2,400 per head for four-weight calves. Demand wasn't just good for lightweight cattle. It was good across the board. Ty Thompson shares more on the heifer and yearling trends.
Yeah, you know, we thought we were selling them replacement type heifers pretty high in July, and I mentioned that it was interesting the feeders were taking them out. Well, we had enough replacement activity today that it knocked most of the feeders out. Most of those heifers went back to breeding programs today. And we got into the yearlings. The yearling sale was unbelievable. We had some 8 1/4 weight NHTC steers bring 385, 386, 900-pound steers in Nebraska, 365. Heifer trade, 760-pound heifers bring 357 with no programs. 900-pound heifers, 34, 335, 340, 341, just tremendous demand on the yearlings.
The video sales continue this week in Sheridan, Wyoming. Superior Livestock Video will host its Week in the Rockies sale. We'll have those results here on the Western Ag Network as well.
Montana harvest season is here, and so is wildfire season. One spark from hot equipment, a bearing, or a piece of metal can ignite a fire that spreads fast. Before you head to the field, check and clean your equipment. Keep a water source and extinguisher close. And avoid operating during the hottest, driest parts of the day. Your simple precautions can prevent a costly wildfire. This message is brought to you by the Montana DNRC, protecting our lands and communities.
At Ag West, we know ag financing, like you know everything from traffic jams to early morning meetings to pitching a product to a job well done. For over a century, we've supported the people who are the heart of ag and believe you deserve a financial partner who works as hard as you do. Let's chat at agwestfc.com. Equal opportunity provider and employer, equal housing lender.
A coalition of agriculture groups are filing an amicus brief with the United States Supreme Court calling for a definitive ruling on the legality of corner crossing. The Wyoming Stock Growers, Montana Stock Growers, and Wyoming Wool Growers Association filed that brief. The case centers around the debate involving hunters who used a ladder to cross one section of public land to another at the corner of private land in Wyoming. Earlier this year, the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals ruled that corner crossing does not constitute trespass if no private land is physically touched. Rayleigh Honeycutt, Executive Vice President of the Montana Stock Growers, say they are petitioning the Supreme Court to review that decision.
We have proudly joined the Wyoming Stock Growers and Wyoming Wool Growers Associations to ask the Supreme Court of the United States to take up this case and provide us a definitive answer on corner crossings. Our appeal really highlights to the court the landowner's perspective and also the importance of the landowner's right and ability to protect their airspace and their land.
The precedent directly affects six western states, Wyoming, Colorado, Utah, New Mexico, Oklahoma, and Kansas, and indirectly influences landlocked public areas across the West. That decision was applauded by outdoor groups like the Backcountry Hunters and Anglers. For the Western Ag Network, I'm Lane Nordblund.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, now this is a story that I got to go check out. DailyWire.com. I usually try to check that at least once before I get on the air in the morning. But, hey, I can take advantage of the breaks here in the 6 o'clock hour to check it out a little bit more here. But hey, Matt Walsh, you guys know Matt Walsh. He did that a couple of great documentaries slash films. He did the What is a Woman film. And then he followed it up with the Am I Racist documentary. Matt Walsh has a big write-up at the dailywire.com talking about why foreign truck drivers are an extreme danger to all Americans. If you guys missed it yesterday in the 9 o'clock hour of the show, we got a great phone call from Jim in Malta. And Jim used to be on the national board for the owner operator independent truck drivers of America, I believe is the precise title of the organization. And it was just interesting because he talked about all of the foreign drivers and many of the non-English speaking drivers that you will see on the interstates and the highways right here in Montana. In fact, he said they are crawling all over Highway 2 on the High Line of Montana as well. So it's not just the interstates, I-90, et cetera. They're crawling all over Highway 2. And he said many of them are coming out of Canada. Now, John Jackson, the Joker from X, talked about the fact that apparently ICE is going to start placing some of their immigration authorities at the way stations in order to be an additional check on these illegal alien truck drivers. So that's going to be very interesting. But I want to check out this piece by Matt Walsh here with the DailyWire.com. Back to, though, the Trende Aragua story out of Aurora, Colorado, which for some of our listeners right now, I mean, if you're listening in Lodgegrass, Aurora's what, 6 hours away from you or so? Depending on if you get stuck in traffic, I guess then it could be who knows how bad Denver traffic is now. I try not to go there. Okay, it could be a 10-hour drive depending on traffic. Who knows, right? But, yeah. The Aurora, Colorado city councilwoman who was, you know, blowing the whistle on the fact that Trende Aragua, these TDA illegal alien thugs, were threatening people in her own community. Remember, she talked about, the Daily Caller has this story, she begged every Democrat in the state of Colorado to come out and help her. The governor of Colorado called the police on her. She was investigated for a video that she had showing how these Trende Aragua thugs were basically, you know, intimidating pregnant women. They held a woman down, 9 months pregnant, burned her with scalding water because she didn't have enough rent money. Anyway, that Aurora City Councilwoman says, she says, I have been vindicated, but I feel very sad. These indictments are now out, as you heard in that Fox News Radio story earlier. U.S. Attorney for the District of Colorado announcing a pair of indictments targeting 30 people connected with TDA. All right, speaking of Fox News, here's your Fox News update. On last night on Fox News, I can't remember if he was on with Hannity or Waters or Laura Ingraham, but Rapid Response 47 sharing a couple of highlights of his conversation where he was calling out the mayor of Boston and these sanctuary cities like Boston. Stephen Miller, of course, Deputy White House Chief of Staff and has been with President Trump since day one, a prominent voice on his border security plans and strategy.
The Democrat Party is an extremist organization, Sean. It's not a political party in any normal sense of the word. A political party represents Americans. It represents law-abiding citizens. All you see all day long are crazy Democrats screeching on TV on behalf of foreign terrorists, hardened criminals, and violent illegal aliens. A political party exclusively dedicated to protecting terrorists, criminals, gangbangers, and murderers. That's what they become. These sanctuary city mayors, DOJ's been very clear. They had a deadline and they violated it. They had a deadline to comply with federal law and hand over the criminal illegal aliens in their custody, the child rapists, the child predators, the drug traffickers, the human traffickers. The sanctuary cities, like Boston, refused to turn over these menacing threats to public safety. And so now they face not only revocation of funds, not only the loss of taxpayer support, but also potential criminal charges for harboring and smuggling. This is as real as it gets, Sean. The Department of Justice laid out to these mayors how they were breaking our laws, and they refused to change their policy, and Attorney General Bondi is going to see this thing through to the end.
Well, and I know Laura Ingraham on her opening segment where she was also calling out Mayor Wu in Boston. I mean, she highlighted just the rap sheet of the hardcore criminal illegal aliens that have been identified just in Massachusetts alone, just in Boston alone. On that front, here's more from Stephen Miller.
Let me just break down for your audience, Sean, how severe the crime committed by these sanctuary cities is. So you'll have a situation where local police in Boston will arrest an illegal alien who's a child predator. And ICE will then send what's called a detainer request or a hold request, and we'll say, don't release this person, hand them over to ICE, and we'll remove this child predator from our community. Instead, these sanctuary mayors will order the police department to ignore the federal request to set them free out of the jail, out of the prison, and they will go back into the community, and then they will reoffend. They will hurt another little girl. They will hurt another little boy. And then ICE has to spend weeks trying to scouring the community to find this public safety threat. What they're doing, Sean, is evil, and President Trump will see that they are held to account for their crimes.
That's a good point there by Stephen Miller. When you wrap this up, when you look at what the Democrat Party is doing in America today, they are a radical extremist organization. By no means a normal political party at all. A radical extremist organization. All right, phone lines are open for you, 294-0970.
Your property.
Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, great update there by Dennis Bragg. Dennis Bragg with the Montana State News Network. Yeah, mentioning one of the big local news stories of updates here. Black Hills Corporation and Northwestern Energy to combine in an all-stock merger to create a premier regional regulated electric and natural gas utility company. So basically a merger between Northwestern Energy and Black Hills. A good report there by Dennis Bragg. It's going to be interesting to see, more reactions on that news story. Actually, I think I just saw something from Governor Greg Gianforte. Let me see if I saved that one. I think I did put a little clip together of that one here this morning. Let me do my update to my little show prep notes here. Let's see. Where do we got it here? I know I've got a reaction from the governor. Okay, I'll find it for you. That's all right. Okay. But anyway, it's going to be interesting to see because, look, here's the deal when it comes to energy, when it comes to electricity. These Silicon Valley types and these data centers, not just to mention every, if President Trump, what he's doing to make America great again when it comes to bringing manufacturing back to America, bringing these high-wage jobs back to, in these industries back to America, that requires energy and a lot of it. And Montana, look, we are an energy state. Historically, we have always been a net exporter of power, meaning we can profit off of this stuff. We can make money off of this stuff. We can have a lot of high-wage jobs off of this stuff. But then thanks to, of course, the far-left Democrats and their assault on American energy and their assault on reliable energy and their pushing of these Green New Deal scams, there was a time where we for the first time in our state's history, became a net importer. We had to import power. We had to import electricity. A state that should not be dependent on something like electricity became dependent on other states for electricity because of these Green New Deal nut jobs. That's how urgent of a situation this is. And so now we know there's more people that want to do business in Montana. We know that there's more people that want to do business with Montana. That's going to require energy. You know, Yellowstone County, big new data center, in the works there. Butte, they're looking at, and they've already inked some initial deals with what could be a $1 billion to a $4 billion data center in Butte. A lot of money for Butte. Again, it's going to need energy. It's going to need power. So yeah, at least my initial reaction when I see this is, hey, this is the types of things that we're going to need. This is what we're going to, you know, a package like this is what it's going to take to make sure that we can continue to expand energy production in Montana and also have, with a broader reach, be able to meet not only the needs for, you know, everyday Montana ratepayers, but also to be able to expand our industrial footprint in Montana here as well from a high wage job front. So anyway, that was just my initial reaction here. I did see that. Yeah, I thought I had saved the statement from Governor Gianforte here. Let me go back into my email and pull it up here for a second. That's all right. I can get to it here later this morning. Okay, but the story that I wanted to go back to was this whole topic of foreign truckers on our highways, on our interstates. Yeah, we had several great phone calls throughout the morning yesterday, but in the 9 o'clock hour, we had a phone call from Jim in Malta. And we had John Jackson, the Joker from X, with us on the show as well. And one of the questions I threw out there is, okay, so, you know, because John shared what was the breaking news yesterday morning, that ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, is going to embed some of their personnel into these way stations. So the idea being that when these big rigs and these 18-wheelers pull into the way stations to, you know, check weight, things like that, things that they normally do, well, ICE is there to check for any illegal aliens that are operating these big rigs on our roadways. And then remember, the Department of Transportation under President Trump now and under Secretary Duffy at the Department of Transportation, they're going back to doing – this is not some novel approach here that in order to operate an 18-wheeler on America's highways that you have to be able to speak English, that you have to be able to understand what the road signs are. This is another way that the Democrats have turned everything upside down. They turned our border upside down. They turned our interstates upside down. They've turned everything upside down to push their radical transgender agenda, to push their radical open borders agenda. And I think they're deliberately turning everything upside down because they want to create the chaos. They want to undermine institutions because they want to transform the country into something else. This is just a pattern of the cultural Marxist left that we have, you know, in control of the Democrat Party right now. It's why when you talk about the mayor of Boston, when you talk about all this stuff, it all ties together. It's a strategy. I think we heard a reference to double standards earlier. Again, it's not a double standard. It's a strategy. The strategy there with their double standards when it comes to lawfare, when it comes to law enforcement, when it comes to the anarcho-tyranny, the lawfare that they'll wage against you, the lawfare that they'll wage against Trump, but yet the anarchy for illegals, the anarchy for over-the-road illegal alien truck drivers, it's by design. It's to erode your faith and trust and confidence in your American institutions because they don't want to see America continue as a republic, a free republic for another 250 years. They want to transform it into something else. But anyway, back to John had mentioned how, hey, ICE was going to embed into these way stations. And then my question was, hey, what can these, you guys have seen them as you drive around on the highway. Maybe you'll see a vehicle, typically a pickup, I think, with lights on the top. At first, maybe you think it's a sheriff, maybe you think it's highway patrol, something like that. But then you see on the side, you see, you know, Motor Carrier Services, MCS. Well, John had raised the question, well, can those motor carrier services guys, can they do anything to even stop these you know, illegal alien truck drivers, can they do anything, you know, to stop these, you know, truck drivers that can't speak English? And thankfully, Jim in Malta, you know, I mentioned he was on, you know, on the national board for the owner operators you know, association, representing all the owner operator independent truck drivers. And he said, yes, Motor Carrier Services and MCS, they do have authority to put drivers out of service for not being able to speak English. Because one of the things I'd thrown out there, I don't know about you guys, but I feel like I've been noticing those MCS enforcement vehicles out there more. And so hopefully, maybe they've been stepping up the enforcement on that front to go after these non-English speaking drivers. So that, combined with what ICE is doing, could be, and more, it could be a combined effort to keep these folks off the roadways, and then eventually get them out of the country here as well. We had some messages that came in on the Montana Talks app yesterday in the middle of this conversation. Carrie in Franny, Wyoming, sorry I missed your message before we wrapped up the show on Tuesday, but Carrie said this, you know, listening right on the other side of the Montana-Wyoming border. Carrie says, I've worked in the mining industry for the last 15 years. At our site, we have two scales, one for the crude trucks and one for the over-roaders. Part of my job is running the crude scale. Over-the-roaders are not supposed to go across my scale, but yet a lot do. When the American bread guys call me because they are lost, they are so nice and polite. When the non-American guys call, they are rude and argumentative. They can't understand me, and I can't understand them. I have literally had to get rude with them and tell them to get the blank off my scale. Here, about 2 weeks ago, a friend moved here from Washington, had his equipment shipped here. When it arrived, I went over to give him a hand. The driver was non-American and barely spoke English. He was very rude. In the process of trying to get the equipment off the trailer as fast as possible, I started to unchain equipment. Anyway, the driver got too close and basically nearly ran right into her. So, but anyway, basically, yeah, she's making a point that, like, hey, when you're dealing with your typical American, you know, English-speaking truck drivers, they're polite, they get it, they're trying to work with you, they're just trying to get good information, figure out where they need to go, where they need to be. And so apparently not only are these non-English-speaking truck drivers, many of them very dangerous on our roadways, but they're not very nice either, according to Carrie in Franny, Wyoming. I had another one here. Laura in Brockton sent us a message later in the day on Tuesday because we had, you know, obviously the legal immigration debate came up as well. So anyway, I'll tell you what Laura in Brockton had to say. Oh, and I just saw a message. We got Jim from Malta on the phone lines. Hey, Jim, stand by. I gotta hit this hard break, but Jim, we'll come back to you right after this because, yeah, I definitely want to hear more about this whole CDL conversation, et cetera.
Your morning cup of Sean. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
If you want to know why security was lost for Ukraine, go back to the point where Bill Clinton convinced the Ukrainians to give up the nuclear weapons after the disintegration of the former Soviet Union. That was their big mistake. They'd still have Crimea. They wouldn't be at war with Russia. There wouldn't be talk about land swaps. There wouldn't be any talk about security guarantees because they had security guarantees and Russia signed on to them. And in many ways, they were betrayed by all of their European allies and frankly, the United States. Under Bill Clinton, under Barack Obama and Joe Biden, did not live up to those concerns. So, I mean, I kind of sympathize with the Ukrainians.
The conservative underground meets later today on the Sean Hannity Show.
All right, how many times have you told someone, if it ain't broke, don't fix it? Now, that's great advice for most things, but not so much for your cell phone. Look, likely over time, the battery will fade, the processor can't keep up, and maybe it's even fallen in the toilet one too many times. Now, fortunately, thanks to Pure Talk, your cell phone is something you can replace without feeling guilty. When you switch to Pure Talk this month, they're going to give you a Samsung Galaxy A36 for free with a $35 qualifying plan. Just $35 a month for talk and text and data and a free Samsung phone with scratch-resistant Gorilla Glass, and a battery that lasts all day. It's all on America's most dependable 5G network. Look, supporting companies like Pure Talk is a good thing. The switch, it is simple, it is fast, it is easy. You dial #250, say the keyword save now to get your free phone today. That's #250, keyword save now. Make the switch to my wireless company, a veteran-owned company, America's wireless company, Pure Talk.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunny skies across the area for today. High temperatures stay around 92 in Bozeman, around 100 in Billings. For tonight, with partly cloudy skies, slight chance for a shower or storm. Otherwise, temperatures head back in the mid-50s in Bozeman, mid-60s in Billings. Thursday, there's a slight chance for a shower or storm. Otherwise, sunshine with highs in the mid-80s expected. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Look, I hate to break the news to some of you, but you got a lot of people talking about a sales tax. But look, a sales tax will not solve the property tax problem. A sales tax has not and will not get the support of the people of Montana. If you ask me, I'll tell you why. Go to MontanaTalks.com. Plus, Evelyn Pyburn from the Big Sky Business Journal weighs in with her thoughts as well. We tell you why it won't work, why it can't work. Montana Talks. Details.
You're listening to Montana Talks, bringing truth and freedom to Montana. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
All right, glad to have Jim from Malta back on the phone lines with us here this morning. Yeah, Jim, great phone call in the 9 o'clock hour of the show, because I know you know the trucking industry kind of inside and out. And yeah, we talked a lot about the foreign workers, the foreign drivers, the illegal alien drivers. What did you want to share here this morning?
Well, I was just going to expand a little further on, for instance, with the state of Montana, like I mentioned yesterday, and the requirements that we already have in place here in our beautiful state on proof of residency, birth certificate, et cetera, when obtaining the CDL. Now, for instance, if you are on a temporary work, from another country, whatever, authorization you have to be here, they will put in bright, bold letters across the top of your driver's license, non-domiciled. I just think that if more states and Secretary Duffy maybe look into implementing what Montana currently has, already in place, that would, perhaps prevent this, issues like this happening again. But the biggest thing is enforcing the 49 Code of Federal Regulations that are already in place, and the English-speaking requirement that Democrats have unfortunately overlooked for so long. And I was also going to mention, too, I don't know if you heard, but that same individual, that driver, got held in Florida, booked a flight to California, and then booked another flight back to India, and they've got him on a hold now. So he was trying to escape the country.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I did see that he was extradited back to Florida, but I didn't see that he was trying to escape the country. Big surprise there. Well, that's why I wonder about, again, I don't know the citizenship status of this guy who just got charged in Yellowstone County. I don't know his citizenship status, but, I mean, that guy, only had a $10,000 bond, so it'd be easy for him to skate out if he wanted to. So a couple of minutes before we wrap up the hour here, Jim. So what, in line with, okay, so let's say ICE puts people at these, at the way stations. Let's say, motor carrier services out there enforcing, what they're doing with enforcement. What can be done to help enforce this English language requirement and to make sure illegal aliens aren't out there, flooding our roadways?
Well, and that's part of the testing process. When they go in to apply for a commercial driver's license, I know in some states they offer the test in 5-10 different languages. Law enforcement in the state of Illinois used to have flip charts with 15 different languages for motor carrier officers to conduct a roadside inspection. It should never, ever have to be up to law enforcement to do that. Their job is to make sure that the trucks are safe on the road and the drivers are safe. I mean, the safest thing on the road is to put a qualified English-speaking trained truck driver behind a wheel. That is the safest thing. All of this other safety garbage that they've been coming out with, ELDs, speed limiters, whatever else, you get a competent driver that can speak English behind the wheel. That's the safest possible thing you could possibly have.
It really is anarcho-tyranny here, right? Where they have all these tyrannical rules in place for the legal English-speaking drivers who follow the rules of the road, but then anarchy for non-English illegal alien drivers, it seems like.
Yeah, and that's, typical Democrat policies, What's good for me is good for me, and it's not good for thee, so.
Yeah. Flood the country with illegal aliens at all costs. Flood the country with who they see as, in some cases, current voters, potential future voters, and then undermine every institution imaginable so that they can transform this country into something else. It even goes all the way back to our roadways. And, yeah, remember when they were talking about racist roads under Pete Buttigieg? Yeah, it's just insane. All right, Jim, hey, I'll tell you what, if you want to call back in a few minutes, or stick around, I'd love to open up the 7 o'clock hour talking a little bit more with you on this topic as well, because I think I got a busy lineup after that, if I'm not mistaken. But I'll do a little calendar recon here as we get to the Fox News update here at the top of the hour. And yeah, big lineup here all morning long. I'll tell you a little bit about it here after this.
Smokey the Bear.
Smokey. And you know why Smokey tells you when he sees you passing through. Remember, please be careful, it's the least that you can do.
Don't play with matches, don't play with fire.
After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com. And remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Only life had a remote control. You could pause or rewind. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the one-minute risk test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.